This is St. Pete X, affectionately known as SPX. SPX brings you St. Pete's brightest business people, civic leaders, and citizens who share their insight and expertise as well as their love of our great city. SPX is presented by the St. Petersburg Group. Head to stpete.co to check out more episodes, and by St. Pete's most effective marketing agency, Big C. Browse to bigc.co to see their work. Now enjoy the conversation. Hey, this is Joe Hamilton, and I'm here with Chris Steinecker, one of my favorite people in St. Pete. He is the president and CEO of St. Petersburg Chamber and an all-around engine for progress and prosperity in St. Petersburg. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. I think this interview is over with. I like how it went so far, and I wouldn't want to mess it up. So yeah. Thank you.
So a lot of stuff to kind of cover today. You're a man who's in the know about a lot of interesting things. First, an interesting project that we just took on, which was you've been a proponent of the St. Petersburg Tampa Airboat.
St. Petersburg Tampa Airboat Line.
St. Petersburg Tampa Airboat
Line. Yeah, I think it's one of the great stories of innovation of a community and a really wonderful point of pride for St. Petersburg that we took a couple guys in who had an idea of commercial aviation, and they had shopped it in other communities across Florida, at least. We know they were in Jacksonville and they pitched it. We know they were in Tampa and were looking for investors to say, we want to put people on airplanes and make them pay for it. And it was the chamber president and a couple of his board members who put up their own $2,000 to create commercial aviation. So the St. Pete Chamber really did birth a whole industry. And it was because there were a few guys saying, let's try that. That makes sense. And yeah, we'd love to get over to Tampa over the water. That makes sense to us too. And so they were kind of courageous and putting down big money at the time. $2,000, I'm sure, in 1913, 1914 was a lot of money. And they did it. So that was over 100 years ago. And you know, I think it's important to remember that because it inspires other entrepreneurs that maybe we still have that DNA inside us and maybe we can birth another industry out of St. Pete. And so that's why for a chamber guy like me, I always look around, and anytime anybody comes in my office or I get to go explore, I want to keep an eye open for, you never know. You just never know, because it's already happened once. We caught lightning in a bottle. We created one of the largest industries on the planet. And so could we do it again?
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, in the amount of time that's passed between that and this, we've done a little bit of that too. You know, we've had some good successes here.
I think we have. I think we're good at welcoming people into our community with their ideas, and we're open to new people coming in. And so I think that's kind of a celebration to a St. Pete. So this whole notion of we're about to do a new pier, and there's a group called Flight 2014 who are trying to raise money for a beautiful, beautiful piece of art. Almost a life-size replica of the first airplane that was flown. And it's going to be, it's already been cited for the new Pier Approach, and they're trying to raise money, and I wanted to help them. I want people who come down to our new pier to take pictures in front of the first commercial aviation flight taken off. And it's going to be beautiful, and it will be one of those special Kodak moments. And as a community, I'm hoping we can raise enough money to do it.
Cool. And to that end, you created a shirt with St. Pete threads to commemorate.
Excited to have a partnership with them. And I love it. I think most people don't realize there's a couple of things that I like about it. First of all, again, most people don't understand the history of a chamber creating a corporation, an industry. I think it's a pretty significant moment. So I wanted to mark that. But also I like seeing how they named it. You know, everything now you see is Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater or whatever. And back then it was St. Petersburg, Tampa. And it was because it was alphabetical order and because it was started here. But somehow I like that juxtaposition, that as a brand manager of St. Petersburg, as a chamber guy, I kind of like seeing us being in the lead of something.
Yeah.
And so it reminds us that we are a strong partner in this community.
I think we got shafted by the naming of the bay, right? If it was St. Petersburg Bay, St. Pete Bay, that would have been, I don't know what the history of the naming of the body of water was.
Or yeah, it certainly works in the other, in Tampa's favor, and God love them and appreciate them, and we need them, and they, you know, together we're a great, great community. But yeah, you always wonder what would be different if the region was called something different. But I got to tell you, you know, we look at it as Tampa Bay is a big mall. and St. Petersburg may not be the anchor store, may not be the Macy's or Nordstrom or whatever the anchor store might be in that mall, but I think we're the best specialty store in the mall. I think we're that Apple store. And so I think we attract as many people to the mall as the anchor does, and the anchor needs us, and the specialty store needs the anchor. So I think, you know, I am a very much a regional perspective kind of guy, and because I fly out of TIA and because I love our Bolts and I love all the people that can work and live in both communities, and 45,000 people a day travel on both sides sides of the bridge to go to work. So we've got to show some cooperation. But it's good every once in a while to say, man, St. Pete did something pretty special.
And I, as a citizen of St. Pete, I don't in my circles hear much animosity for Tampa. It's just not really talked about. I think we have a good relationship in general.
I think a lot of that's urban myth too. You know, I don't see animosity or even feel it. They're different communities. And I think when people get frustrated is when they want to paint them as the same. It would be like, I have two other brothers, not nearly as good looking or charming or as wonderful as me.
Kind of impossible.
Yeah, it would be almost, would be asking a lot. But it would be like them being described as me and me being described as them. It's not fair. Even though we're both all Steinachers, we're different. So you can't say that Tampa, St. Pete, and Clearwater are all the same. And you're almost doing them a disservice by saying they're this vanilla flavor that you should embrace. It's kind of like, I heard an analogy a long, long time ago out in Colorado where you can say you're a nice marmalade where you mix all the fruits together and you get something pretty special, or you can be a fruit salad. I'm serious. And think of all the chunky flavors in a fruit salad that you notice the pineapple, you notice the strawberry, you notice the grape, right? So you actually notice them contributing to the fruit salad. In a marmalade, it's all one flavor. Tampa Bay is the fruit salad, buddy.
Well, at least we don't have to worry about what to make our next t-shirt, right?
Did a lot of people just click off, do you think?
You heard that out west at a, was this in Colorado where everything's legal or what?
Yeah, no, it was a talk about economic gardening.
Oh.
And it's because in Longwood, Colorado, they lost a big employer.
I think it was economic grow house.
This was actually before then. And they had lost a larger employer that they paid big incentives to. And they began to say to themselves, why are we doing that? Can't we grow from within? And what would growing from within mean? And so they started to embrace the variety that they have to be. They can't be one thing. That they started to celebrate the diversity of everybody's impact in the economy. And from that became some principles in economic gardening. This was like 25 years ago. And that always stuck with me, that you should embrace the pieces of it rather than trying to make it all one.
Yeah. So circling back, if the shirts, if anyone wants to check them out, they're on stpetethreads.com. And I think one important piece of that, you know, the business launching the commercial flight industry is one thing, but I think that all stems from being up for it, you know, being open to it, which is opportunity, inclusivity, and those seem to be themes that have transcended the ages for St. Pete.
Yeah, I really believe right now we are hardwired for some of that. And if you think about it, 100 years of, we're always going to be a peninsula on a peninsula. So we had to be very creative in getting people here, especially before air conditioning, before automotive. You know, why would people come to this godforsaken mosquito-infested piece of land?
And T-shirt number two. We're just lining them up.
We're creating them. And so they began to say part of it we have to do is we've got to be a place where people are welcomed. And I really mean that. They started from over 100 years ago saying, okay, everybody who's here can contribute. And if you think about it, even then, even from start in the 1890s to 1919, we were all small businesses. And every one of them was brand new to the community. And I do believe that's still around, where we understand that we have to welcome new visitors every month. And every, you know, there was a point, I've got a logbook at the chamber. The chamber used to require people to log in when they came down to your community. And why that was public safety. So that if someone's trying to get a hold of you up in New Jersey and there was no phones in the hotels and there was no, you know, like, so how do you get a hold of somebody? You checked in with the Chamber of Commerce and then they welcomed you. They found out where you were staying for the 2 months you were here. And if they received any mail or if they received any correspondences, they knew how to get them to you. Isn't that wild? So there's always been this notion of, we got to make sure we're taking care of people, welcoming people, informing people, and appreciating those who are going to bring the next business to town, because we didn't have the luxury of, you know, we were out there. We were an outpost.
Yeah. And having all those small businesses, it's sort of, you know, it didn't lend itself to large tracts of urban planning. I think one thing that's kept been important to us keeping our character is just how spontaneously things have grown. And ironically, the only thing that's been planned really on a mass level is the waterfront system. And that's exactly the kind of thing you want planned, right? Let's, you know, if we're going to plan anything, it's not the paved stuff, it's the green stuff. So that's cool.
That was another one of those strokes of genius that was another chamber initiative. When we were first getting started, there was a major debate in this community. There was a gentleman named Mr. Davis who owned the electric company. That's where the yacht club was. And it was generating 60 watts of power for St. Pete. And he had the electric pier at the time. And he was lobbying Congress to dredge the bay so that all those big boats that were going into Tampa with the tobacco and cattle would come to St. Pete. And there were a lot of other guys and gals who came into town at the same time for their health who said, I don't want to look at a port right here. We came down here because we wanted to get away from that. And so they purchased all that land. There was six guys who purchased the land. And then they created what was the precursor of the chamber, or the board of trade is what we used to be called. And they asked us, they created this entity and then gave the city 3 years to put a referendum together for that to be public land forever. And so here's a business community who usually goes after big port deals saying, we're going to develop a different community. So when they won that, they realized now we have some responsibility because we just made a big choice. We made a directional choice. So they platted that all out, but then they used what's called the Chicago plan. So if you've ever been to Chicago and you see the ribbon of green around the lake there, mm-hmm. they used to have an airfield there as well, Miggs Field, just like Albert Witted. And then the grid system that came off of that, that was the Chicago plan. So they were trying to create what was called the greatest little city on earth, greatest little big city on earth. They used what was an urban plan at the time that other communities were starting to adopt, which was the Chicago plan. So it takes courage to kind of say, we're going to create community first and figure out how business is going to be successful.
And what decade was that?
That was 1898-ish.
Okay, so, wow.
Yeah, we're the beneficiaries of so many good ideas like that. You know, imagine a big port where our pier is today. Imagine that kind of trucking coming through Second Avenue where we have beautiful walking, and Beach Drive is now a staging area. You and I wouldn't be here, buddy. I mean, we wouldn't. And that there are people that created those legacies for us inspires me to say, what are you and I and what are others going to do in St. Pete to keep that going? That there's a kind of a responsibility now to look at less about what my profit looks like and what my community looks like.
Cool. And it's sort of an offshoot of that, but I think that carries over to the purple community. And it's a strange term, but the mixing of blue and red and left and right. And it seems like in business, politics, and everything, St. Petersburg citizens put St. Petersburg above, you know, things that other communities don't. And that's a neat aspect.
Yeah, we are. We're proud at the Chamber saying we're Pelican, not partisan. I mean, we're the purple Pelicans when we really, you know, even our advocacy logo is a purple Pelican. And it's important. And it's it is so helpful, especially in the national dialogue right now. You obviously don't feel like there's middle ground. There's people on both sides kind of digging in. And how much gets done? You know, and even in your business, if you have a team that can't get in the middle and say, okay, we got to keep moving forward. So what are we going to do next? Your business won't be successful. And somehow we're back to that notion of choosing sides. But in St. Pete, we've been lucky enough in such a diverse community. You know, most urban markets are by definition diverse. And that's how suburbs got created, is because people didn't want to have that diversity. They wanted to be with people like them, with similar interests and similar faiths and similar backgrounds. And that's okay. So that's how the world of suburbs got built. But by definition, the urban core was always this place where everybody showed up and then figured out who they're going to become and what they're going to do. And so St. Pete is still an urban market. We're an urban market, but our scale is such that it does not overcome the notion that you can't be seen in that. So like most urban markets are so large, it's like, I don't even know where City Hall is, or who's the chamber guy. I don't even know if they do. You know, like it's so big that you don't feel like you can connect into it. In our purpleness, we have the ability to say, what do you want to do? You're here. The scale works, but that diversity. And so that's why I think we're winning right now, and the attraction of great people that you're attracting in your business, that we're all attracting in our businesses, they want that. They demand that. In fact, we're working on an economic development play, and we're working with companies. There's a company from the other Bay Area in San Francisco considering us, and they demand it. They want that to happen, man. They want to see diversity, or they can't. They say that's their competitive advantage. We want people around our conference room table that don't think like me so that I can get their best ideas too. And so for us, that purpleness and inspiring people to have their own opinion is actually a good economic development play as well.
And I definitely feel, I think this is definitely a special place in time with the size of the place, because you can really make some waves here. You can really put a spark out and community catches fire around it. And
it's nothing like it. I mean, and I'm going around doing a lot of travel in the summer. Try to find another community where there is a kind of, there's a couple communities that have that empowerment right now, but I don't know how anybody who's 25, who just came to town, already is met with the mayor, already met with the chamber guy, has got his business, has been on the cover, you know, like how quick people are highlighted in this community is blowing people away, but it's that they feel connected. And it's my theory that because we're all so tied to our screens, and we may have 1,000 Facebook friends, that we're not, you know, we're feeling less connected than ever because the pace and the impersonality of that connection, that the scale of St. Pete, that I know I'm going to see you at a lot of things. So how am I going to behave? Because also I know I'm going to see you at a lot of things. So that notion of civility, that notion of appreciation and confidence in each other is part of the scale definition that I think those people who are disillusioned with big urban markets but want the diversity go, man, it's just so big here. I left Atlanta because I was disillusioned with my impact. I wanted to make an impact. And in Atlanta, I didn't know where the front door was to even say, hey, I'm available to make an impact. And you come down to St. Pete and they're like almost expecting you to make an impact. I mean, there's kind of a peaceful notion of like, what are you going to do? Like, yeah. The accountability, that's a good word for it.
But a supportive accountability.
Right.
Let's do this. And
yeah, I'm in. Yeah. And how many times have you heard people go, okay, I'll help you? You know, what seems like that notion of we both can win might actually still be alive here in St. Pete.
You know, what are your words of wisdom for the, obviously, candidates aside, and what would you like to see happen with how the community embraces the mayoral race?
I think they should vote for me.
Right in?
Right in. Alfred E. Newman. Him again.
Free fruit salad for everyone.
Absolutely. I think elections are very important, and even how we go about them are very important. What I'm hoping we all learn from it is we're not there yet as a community. You know, we're not done yet. Most people want things to be completed. There's a lot of us who crave completion is one of the things that we thrive on. And you hire people because they like that. But in a city, you're never done. You got to realize that. And you're always evolving. So it's important during these election times to gut check where we're at. And you begin to hear from those who haven't felt the inclusive prosperity that others. So you need to pay attention to them. And you hear different opinions and ideas. And you see candidates offering, you know, maybe even considered fringe candidates offering really good ideas. So what I'm hopeful of is that people are listening with an active opportunity to say, what can we learn from these people that are offering their time and energy to be an elected official, which I don't know why anyone would want to. It's a hard gig. And then really pay attention to solutions. Hopefully we don't get a lot of the partisan rhetoric that a lot of elections do. We're supposed to be a nonpartisan election. I'm hopeful we can stay above that and really talk about where does St. Pete go next? How do they support community strategy of calling it Grow Smarter? How are people going to embrace the notion of there are themes in our community that we're working on? And how do you see you putting your fingerprints and footprints in, and what difference can you make?
Cool. I like it. So Grow Smarter, thank you for that segue. That has led to the creation of the Economic Development Corporation.
Yeah, we had an opportunity again, and in any other market, there's no chance to do this. So I've been at the chamber about 6 years now. And when I got back to this job, I realized, wow, St. Pete scale works is so much in our favor, but there are things it works against, right? Which is, where's the resources? While we have 3 Fortune 500 headquarters in Pinellas County, and we're proud of that fact that a lot of people don't know, we're still driven by a lot of little small business. So we have to be really cognizant of the notion of resources there's a limited supply of resources. Then if there's limited supply of resources, you got to get strategic. In your business, when you don't have a lot of money to invest, you're like, okay, what's our top key strategy that we believe is going to get us the next big hit for us to keep going? We had that opportunity. We brought people together. We brought 24 folks in a steering committee together from throughout the entire community and asked them to go on a journey with us where we were going to talk to citizens, we were going to talk to leaders, we were going to pull data from other communities. We were going to chart out a course of what growing smarter meant to us. So we did 1,500 citizen surveys. Mm. We did 104 CEO surveys, 20 focus groups. So we did a ton of listening and trying to find out what people were concerned about. Why would they leave St. Pete? Why would they stay to St. Pete? So we wanted to make sure we had a citizen that was sticky. So what's going to make them sticky? And it's not the humidity, right? There's another shirt for you. It's the ability to say, this is my community. So we wanted to make it sticky, listen to these people, got the data on what other markets across the country are doing. Are we growing fast enough? Are we growing at the pace we expected? And we learned some really interesting things about ourselves. And we learned also where the areas of focus needed to be for us. So we came up with 6 themes of focus and a lot of notions of, do we have the right players on the field? When you look around, you want to make sure who's doing that? And do they have enough resources to do whatever the issue is? And in a lot of communities, it's this alphabet soup. So you don't know if it's being covered or not. And you don't have time to really realize if it's not. In St. Pete, we realized we've got a lot of great organizations. We listed, I think, over 50 organizations that were playing a role. Mm-hmm. And then we realized there were some gaps. One of the gaps was we had nobody going out every morning and waking up going, where's the next job going to be created in St. Pete? And that's called an economic developer. And most great communities have a group like that. Ours was sunsetted out about 24 years ago, and we never got it back. And this was the chance. So about, you know, over a year ago now, we raised some money. We raised $500,000 for this private-public partnership. So
that's recurring, right?
Reoccurring. And so we got 43 businesses to say, yeah, I want to help get the next job here. We got the city mayor's office, the city council, all saying, yes, we want to be a partner in this as well. And now we're off and running. We've hired J.P. Dubuque as the president of the organization. The chamber's still connected to it to make sure that it stays in strategy, because that Grow Smarter strategy is all about, are we all singing out of the same book? So now we have an economic development group and a chamber working out of the same page. And I tell you, look around other communities and see if they have that. I would ask, if you're considering any community, ask them that question. What's your community strategy? And does everybody buy into it? Does everybody have their same one? And that'll indicate, are we all on the same page? And so now we have, you know, an EDC out there beginning to tell a story to the rest of the world about what we're trying to do, where we're trying to go, and how you can impact it if you so choose to. And so it's a real human story. It allows us to talk to current employers that are here and how would they expand? How can I get another 5 jobs from you guys? What can I do for, and, you know, so that there's this intentional interest in saying, we're going to create jobs and we know what we're good at. We know we want to do it, so let's get going. And so now we've got that going, and that was a outcome of the Grow Smarter strategy. So that's a tangible benefit. Other tangible benefits were the Innovation District. We said that has got to get up and running and be formalized. Well, they just hired their new executive director a couple weeks ago, so that's up and running now. And we talked about the 2020 plan in South St. Pete and the South CRA being very important to that district, and that's having tremendous success, really making an impact in generational poverty. And so now you have everybody feeling like they're part of a team, recognized. And then when it comes to crazy season up in Tallahassee and advocating for it, we now have a game plan of what we advocate for. If it's part of the Grow Smarter strategy and it's part of these efforts, I don't care what organization's needing the money, we're going to get it for you so you can be successful. So it takes business leaders out of having to pick winners and losers and saying, we got our strategy and we need everybody to win. And here's how we're going to do it. I'm so excited. I wonder if people really understand how important having it that document is. I know, like when a gentleman, Alan Delisle, came to town, the city economic development administrator, that was the first thing he noticed. He's like, holy cow, it's already here. You have the strategy. That's the hardest part of a community, is to pause long enough to get everybody on the same page, willing to even show up to the meetings because they're threatened or feel like they're going to lose something. We had this window of opportunity, and man, it was beautiful. And it's thankful because you had good leaders. You had big volunteer leaders that were in all kinds of businesses, startup businesses to big institutional businesses to social enterprises, all at the table. And I swear, Joe, and I'm not lying, when we signed off, we went around the table of all 24 and asked, can you endorse this? By the end, there were tears in people's eyes. And it was because everybody felt that good about seeing such consensus. And I don't think we realize how good it feels to know that you've got a room full of people that see the same thing as you do.
Cool. That's great. And you know, even though that's what we're a year or so, 2 years out of that or so, I can still feel it. You know, and working with Paul on some of the marketing stuff, Paul Carter, it's still guiding everything, which is...
Yeah, you do. And you see it, you know, some of my proudest moments right now are just even when you hear city council talking about it and going, well, part of our Grow Smarter strategy, you know, like it's kind of a verb and a noun. You know, it used to be just a noun. Now it's a verb as well. Like we're actually going to be growing smarter and we're seeing that. I mean, we're all on the same page with some of these projects we're working on because we know, hey, that's what we're trying to do, guys. So there's no ability to go, wait, why are we doing that? I'm like, guys, it's already here. We know what it is.
So what's left with that? So we, you know, the economic development EDC plugs a big hole. What about in the investment and in incubator and?
Yeah. So one of the 6 themes, you know, one of them was the EDC getting jobs created in our 5 sectors. And the other one is entrepreneurs. You know, we unabashedly say we want to be the best place on earth to start your business. So that takes a lot of energy as well, because there are so many models of how to start a business and what kind of business. And some communities are focused on just maybe a tech startup, or, you know, and that they've got the infrastructure for that. We didn't want to go that vertical on that. We wanted to go a little more horizontal and say, we want it to be the best place for whatever your idea is. And do we have the solutions in place to support you? So if you're a non-scalable retail mom and pop Main Street operation, you need as much attention and energy as a person who's got the next idea to scale something that's going to be in every household across the country in 2 years, right? So different kind of needs. So you can't, one size can't fit all. And I think that's the beauty of what the greenhouse offers us with all the partners that are in on the entrepreneur effort, because you got a city, the chamber, the EDC, Tech Garage, the downtown partnership, the innovation district, all saying, here's a plan for how entrepreneurs will be focused. And we're actually now mapping out a kind of an illustration. So if you would come to town, I could quickly go, okay, here's where you belong. Wouldn't that be a good feeling? Rather than making you self-navigate, going to different parts of the city, realizing, gosh, I didn't even have that meeting, or it's hard, you know, we need to make it as easy from the day you walk in going, I want to start a business in St. Pete. You know, we should not have anything else, but okay, great. How do you identify yourself? Perfect. Here's your map. And give them the map.
Yeah. And part of that is, you know, going back to the mom and pop versus the big ones, is there's, you know, tangible and, but very powerful intangible value. And so you look at the mom and pop shops that make up Central Ave, those bring a ton of character to the city and are kind of the building blocks of our uniqueness and our special character, even though they're not generating, you know, massive amounts of...
You can't have a great commute without both of them being there. But I got to tell you, the fun part of the St. Pete story is, too, if you think about our Fortune 500 headquarters, they were all mom and pops. They started here. They didn't move here as Fortune 500 headquarters. We, again, and I'm trying to tell people in St. Pete, we have the ability to make your mom and pop a Fortune 500 headquarters. And when they go, well, how are you going to do that? I've got three of them now already. Show me another community that can boast that right now in Tampa Bay. Show somebody in Florida that we can do that. St. Pete's got that opportunity. And then you start looking at even not our Fortune 500, but our larger employers like Valpak and HSN, which just got bought out, all started here. You know, those are all out, you know, Valpak out of somebody's garage, man. You know, like just amazing, great stories of why you focus on the entrepreneur is because you never know. You never know. We started this conversation about a guy wanting to take people up on an airplane, and now it's a major industry. You didn't know that. And so we don't know what's next. So that's why we're treating everybody with the same kind of appreciation going, if you're successful, we're all successful.
And I think, you know, it's sort of something that what's now called the Foundation for Healthy St. Pete is, they are, you know, looking to be kind of the glue, or looking to invest in processes that support, support that sort of thing as well. I think they did a pretty big bit of work on going around to all the different nonprofits. That's more their area than the for-profit, and looking at what they did and seeing that there were, you know, there was potentially some overlap and some things that were slightly different from different, whether it be different districts or different, flavors of the same thing, and you're trying to put them under one umbrella to get some efficiencies and things like that.
Yeah, I got it. We are so blessed as a community to have this Healthy St. Pete Foundation, which is it's a conversion foundation. When the city sold the hospital, Bayfront Hospital, the proceeds went into a foundation, and there was almost $168 million. Now that is sitting in an account, and every year maybe $3 to $5 million hit the street for the kind of transformational strategies that will impact economic development, social enterprise, poverty, health, and everything else that they're looking at focused on doing. For the scale of St. Pete, we talked about it not being rather large, but just being large enough to have a foundation focused just on St. Pete, offering that kind of money. Show me another community that's got that too. I mean, I'm telling you, that was one of the bigger stories in the last 5 years that may not be felt till another 20 when all that resources really has matured. But holy cow, guy, I'm telling you, the scale of the foundation to the scale of the city, we have a competitive advantage.
Nice. So when you brought up one point, which I've actually been doing a lot of work writing and thinking about lately, is the power of districts. You know, it's I've heard people say that, you know, bringing people in and putting them in an area, you know, I don't know why, but, you know, that's a pigeonholing sort of thing. But in reality, there's a lot of power to concentrated similar businesses. In, you know, you look at around the world, it's pretty standard to go to a market and all the pots and pans are in one place and all the shoes are in one place. And even though they're competitors, it lifts them up to have that did that, you know, and so I think with our districts, and you know, a lot of the big cities, obviously New York and San Francisco, they have the different districts that have their own special flavor. And those are real building blocks for growing off of. And so I feel like we're actually still in the very early stages of realizing the full power of districts. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Just as we talked about St. Pete's role in Tampa Bay, they go home to St. Pete, but they go home to their neighborhood and their district. I mean, they identify, you know, that's why even like when you're doing city work and you mess with somebody's sidewalk and you don't think it's a big deal, it's a big deal because people have a passion for what's right outside their own area. And you can't tell them that their area is just like your area. There's differences and you kind of don't value them if you say, well, it's all the same. You actually appreciate them more when you are fond of their affinity to their neighborhood or district. And what St. Pete has with our districts now really starting to be mature and getting the right kind of resources they need and our neighborhoods, you then empower people to really own that piece of that community. So rather than everyone feeling like, oh, I'm just part of the grind of this bigger wheel, I'm seen again. So the districts to me are very important for a lot of reasons. One is you identify resources and planning. So you get strategy in place. So what you've seen the last couple of years in St. Pete is Skyway Marina District just create one of the best district plans in the country. And now you've got its first major investor in it. And you will see the Skyway Marina District become unrecognizable in 5 years. And it's because those neighbors, the city, the investors, the businesses that were there, Ceridian and others, said, it's my neighborhood. It's mine. So they take a different approach than something down, you know, on the other side of town. That's natural. And so we're playing into that natural notion of, that's mine. That's my sidewalk. I walk on it every day. I taught my kids how to ride their bike there. That's my park, right? So there's that natural, you're going to do more for it. And so by giving people some resources, and in our Grow Smarter plan, we identified that districts are going to be a key component. Districts and neighborhoods have to be a key component. And it's because you get them resources for strategy, you get them resources for implementation, but the resource allocation is deployed by those districts. I mean, they've got the natural resources there that you've just helped convene. The power of coalescing those districts, you're seeing that magic now. You're seeing it in the Deuces, the Innovation District, Skyway Marina. You're starting to see a lot more of this kind of notion of mine. We're going to do this. We've got our role. We're part of this family too. It's like every one of the siblings is growing up and they feel like they're part of a nurturing family. So something that, you know, all of us would really want to have.
Sure. And there's certainly, and there's definitely power in the clustering as well from a business standpoint, where if you've got a small shop, then you can, you know, slide right into the 600 block or WADA. Or if you're a tech, if you're a, you know, a medical or innovative startup, you got the Innovation District and you've got Johns Hopkins right there and NOAA. And if you're financial, you know, got kind of split financial district, but you've got Ray J there and all the supporting businesses.
And you can start to see that really happening. One of our volunteer business leaders that's chairing the Grow Smarter efforts, name's Ryan Griffin. He's a lawyer in town, but also owns a lot of the great establishments, Suzu and Mandarin Hyde and others, talks about these are the times. Imagine being in New York City 35, 55, 75 years ago when they were naming their districts. You know, there was a time when those districts didn't have names and people were like, well, that's the Soho District. Okay, so, you know, someone named it that. We're in that process right now where people are naming different areas. So what an opportunity to say, we're going to define what this community means to us. And again, that's that empowerment, that the scale and everything, that we're getting back to that same theme of we're allowing people to do it. And it's not already pre-described. People aren't coming here from Kansas and going, okay, what's the rules? And you're like, what do you want to do with that? It's yours now. Take it. See what you can do with it. And so there's some excitement for people to know they can own their own sidewalk.
Definitely. And speaking of sort of a weak segue, new large sidewalk, the pier. No, maybe not.
That'll go out of editing, yes. I hope. No, I'm kidding.
I haven't done this a long time. You can tell. Yep. So finally, permits approved.
Yeah, we should be hearing banging any moment now. And I mean that like today or tomorrow. I think what is 1,018 pylons or some ungodly number of pylons. So I'm hoping I get a lot of complaints, and I'm saying this jokingly, about the noise, because that's a good sign that we're actually in construction now. It's kind of cathartic for all of us to know that those debates are over. We're doing this. We're moving on. We've got something for everybody. We're going to have something that all of our families are going to celebrate. I will see you down there, and we're going to look around and go, man, this is fun. We're having a good time. It's a new part of St. Pete we get to explore together. It can't come soon enough. I'm blessed with on that one is there's pros working on it. I mean, you got, first of all, Skanska, first of all, they're the best construction company in the world. But then you've got the architects and the designers, the city. I mean, it is world class. And, you know, some have been concerned with, but it's not going to be that iconic design that we've all hoped for. And I'm going to say, let's wait. Because I think while you may not have a physical structure that is iconic, I think that experience is going to be iconic. I think people are going to kind of walk away from that going, you want to go back down there tonight? Let's go back down there. It's just because people like to see people. People like to walk around and be around other people. I liken what we're going to be doing down there to what they did on the Montreal waterfront. And go down to Montreal and their old historic waterfront, and people just hang out there because it's a pleasant place to be. And there's a point where you're on vacation or even coming that you don't need to spend money to do something. You know, this is a notion where anybody, you don't need to have $5 in your pocket to enjoy this peer experience. And I think that's really important because families on budgets or whatever, we can take them down, let them play in the fountain. They can catch the water. They can go fishing. Didn't cost us a nickel except the shrimp we used for bait or whatever. And we got to feed the pelicans on the way out and we're done. And I still think that's one of the core experiences that we need to offer our residents, our visitors. And I think we're about to get it again.
I think there's something to be said for, you know, the district being the icon. You look at, I know we don't have the Art Deco, but you look at the South Beach. South Beach lacks, you know, there's all the different hotels that have that vibe, but it does lack one central iconic thing, and other than the beach, obviously. And it's made it. It's been fine. And so I think with the museum and the Banyans and the great establishments on Beach Drive and the Dolly down the road and the stadium, that of course the park stretching all the way north, then the whole place becomes the icon.
It's the exclamation point. It really is. And I really think once people get out there, they're really going to realize, holy cow, yeah, the magic isn't the structure, it's the experience. That's actually being so close to that water and then looking around and seeing such a beautiful city and seeing people enjoying themselves. That's the magic. That's really what it is. It's not the physical structure. So I'm very confident that, you know, within 2 years from now, you and I are going to have a beer and ice cream or something down there and just go, man, this is even better than, you know, we can still, we're not done yet. We're getting better every day.
Cool. So we're getting near the end of our time. One thing that I've been doing is giving people that I speak with an opportunity to give a shout out, so some appreciation to someone who's doing something in St. Pete, not could be a person, a nonprofit, a small business, you know, if you, and I know this is a tough one for you because you're
I love all my children.
You're waist deep in all that stuff.
Yeah, that's going to be tough because I do have I'm very lucky to have the opportunity to see so much good. I tell people I get to see the best in St. Pete and hear about the worst, but I'm privy to be in and see a lot of why St. Pete is rocking right now. And there's so many good people. You know, the first thing I would shout out to is just how we are managing our social services. I think that gets largely unseen. Our homeless providers, homeless service providers, folks like the St. Pete Free Clinic, to me is fascinating. What a success story that Beth Houghton's done with that organization. And we don't think about it anymore because it's running so well. And the resources they've upgraded to get people the medical care they need, the food they need, and when appropriate, the housing they need. Their new housing establishment is beautiful. They're great neighbors. They're the exact kind of neighbors everybody wants, and they're offering people a new chance in life. But the way it's being run and strategic investments for the next 25 years, I think, so Beth at the St. Pete Free Clinic is one of those that I'm like, man, I'm really fond of. And, you know, so that's how we take care of the people. I think someone who gets largely overlooked is the SPCA of Tampa Bay and Martha Bowden. And I guess I'm drawn to strong leaders in difficult situations. And what Martha's done in St. Pete with her veterinary center, offering, again, people who don't have all the resources in the world a chance to have a pet and take care of that pet. I know that sounds really minimal from a chamber guy to say that's what you're excited about. But think about the two examples there. If you're taking care of your people who don't have it and you're taking care of your animals, first of all, those are two things that I want in every community, right? And what I think we're blessed with are professionals who have set it up for the long haul. And after you and I are retired and sitting on the green bench somewhere, I know those resources are going to be there because they've invested well. They've created beautiful facilities in St. Pete that take care of those that need to be taken care of. So that would be part of my shout out. My final shout out would be just, I've got the best chamber staff in the universe. I have got folks who work for us for this mission of economic growth and community vitality that give it 100%. I've never been so lucky to work with 12 other folks who want to come up and show up every morning, be at the 7:30 meeting, be at the 5:30 ribbon cutting at that night, and go to the 7:30 cocktail reception with a smile on their face and do it again the next day. We did 74 ribbon cuttings in the last 52 weeks. So that alone is a lot of work to do. And that doesn't count all the events and activities, but just how much our staff is willing to put themselves out in this community. I'm very blessed with that. And one last shout out is I've got the best support system. My wife, Julie, she's got a small business in town. So I understand a lot from her perspective on what small business is dealing with. She's a one-person shop. She's a mental health counselor, mindbodylab.com. That was a nice plug. But when I first started this job, it wasn't as easy. We're trying to get it back on the tracks. And I gave up a lot of family time. And I have two teenage boys who have been very supportive as well. But Julie ran us and helped us as a family stick together. And so by having a great family, great staff, and then a community of folks who just get it, I mean, our ambassadors rock the world, our board, people want to contribute. I've said the St. Pete Chamber story for me has been the It's a Wonderful Life story by Jimmy Stewart. And if you know that story, it's one of my favorite movies. We watch it every Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, is this notion that our chamber was morally, spiritually, financially bankrupt, Joe. And there was no reason for anybody to come help. They could have let it just languish and pass away. But then when you started to talk to people and help them understand what we could do together, they showed up. People showed up. Folks like yourselves and others are contributing. And I'm amazed how many volunteers I get for every committee that keep showing up, that are willing to work and willing to kind of try something new and give their time and energy. So our members, our board, our ambassadors, staff, I'm living the dream, baby. I mean, I really have so much to be thankful for.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. That's great.
It sounded sappy, didn't it?
It did.
Chamber guy being that way. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I guess I'm really just in a space where you get to a point in your career. I've been out in the real world now for 31 years. I graduated college in 86. And you get to a point in your life where you realize what matters. And I know that sounds like an old man just waxing poetic, but I feel like in St. Pete, with this gig, with the people that I get to work with, all those that I named and others, you have this opportunity to really make a difference now. And geez, that's what I've worked my whole life for, is like that I can actually feel like, you know what, when I'm done, you look around going, yeah.
You've one up that because you've made a difference, but the difference you've made is building a framework for hundreds of other people to make a difference. So that's...
Yeah, that legacy. That's what I inherited. I inherited a chamber that built a waterfront. Like, you know, that's infrastructure. Anyone who says they're a leader has that responsibility to build that infrastructure. So when they're gone, they've left it for a lot of people to enjoy it. And that's what we're all up to.
Appreciate it. Went very quickly. Covered a lot of ground.
I thought it went really well. I think it was the most exciting one yet. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the show, but I got to tell you this one. Off the charts.
Off the charts. I know you'll listen to it many, many times.
Yep.
Be on loop in the bathroom.
Yep. I'll put it in my Christmas card too, like when you open the card. Can you do that?
Fruit salad. Get people sticky. What else do we cover?
Hey, I want to make sure you donate all the royalties for those t-shirts to my favorite charities, okay? Because there's a lot of good things in that.
Yes, there were. It's creativity abounds here. You might have missed your calling. I don't know. Hallmark. We'll give him a buzz.
Okay.
Cool. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Joe.
I'll have you
thanks for having me
back again.
Well done. I appreciate what you're doing.
You've made it to the end of another great episode. For show notes, head to stpete.co to the show notes page, which includes links to all the resources mentioned in the show, as well as quotes and key insights from the show and information about the guest and the host. Thanks again to our sponsor, Big C. Head to Big C, that's BIGSEA.co to check out their work. And if you like what you heard, make sure to share this episode on social media and leave a comment. See you next time.